This is an OSV Podcast Network production. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.
This is Like a Mother with Katie McGrady, the podcast that brings you honest conversations about motherhood, the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the realities, the joys, the struggles, the pains, the moments where we think, I can't do this, and the moments where we rejoice that we are doing it, and everything in between. I'm your host, Katie McGrady. We are so happy you're here. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind in St. Meinrad's graduate theology program. Lay students are transformed through prayer and study to become servant leaders in today's church. In a welcoming community, very important, St. Meinrad offers a quality theological education that is flexible and affordable. Pursue your MA or certificate in theology via weekend and online offerings. Graduate theology at St. Meinrad. Study theology for today's church. Learn more at stmeinrad.edu/OSV. Last week, I found myself standing in the Sistine Chapel, about 10 feet away from Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, and proceeded to have one of the most surreal conversations of my life, wherein my husband and I walked over to Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood and introduced ourselves to them. I'm Katie, he's Tommy, and informed Trisha Yearwood that her song, She's in Love with the Boy, about a Katie and a Tommy, was our wedding song. And under Michelangelo's iconic Sistine Chapel ceiling, we had a very pleasant conversation with two country music stars I've loved pretty much my whole life. Now, it was the Sistine Chapel, so there's no photos of the moment, which I think kind of makes it even more perfect. The next night, we're on a first name basis. Garth performed in the atrium, or sometimes called the porch, of St. Peter's Basilica. It was part of the World Meeting on Human Fraternity. The Fratelli Tutti Foundation is this really wonderful organization based out of St. Peter's Basilica in tandem with the Archpriest of St. Peter's Basilica, Cardinal Gambetti. And every year they hold a summit, this World Meeting on Human Fraternity, where they gather thought leaders in various areas of influence and interest, education, sports, economics, in my case, digital media. And they gather us together. We all have these working groups, these conversations, this summit. And then we had a lovely party on the roof of St. Peter's Basilica. Yeah, we got to have drinks and dinner on the roof of the most iconic church in all of Christendom. I still don't believe that it happened, but it did. And then we all went downstairs for this lovely festival conversation and concert in which Garth Brooks performed, and we gave him thumbs up because most of the Italians didn't really know who Garth Brooks was, but a couple of American kids certainly did. We were there from a Thursday morning to a Tuesday morning and had just a fantastic time. My husband came with me for the event and, of course, to spend some time together in the Eternal City. I love Rome. It's one of my favorite places to visit. And the reason I'm talking about it this week is because there were a couple of instances, the conversation with Garth and Trisha being just one of them, in the Sistine Chapel. That's the wild part about it. Plenty of people have seen Garth Brooks perform, have met Trisha Yearwood and Garth Brooks, have probably shared with them the meaning of the music. I think I might be the only Catholic leader or influencer or podcaster to have the conversation with Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood about my fandom in the Sistine Chapel. That is perhaps the best never have I ever / two truths and a lie factoid I'll ever be able to pull out. And I'll probably be insufferable in the telling of the story from here on out, but I digress. There were a few instances over the course of the trip where I was struck by two things, two thoughts that kept coming back to my mind. The first was always say yes to the cool invitation, especially in the Eternal City. Say yes. Not long ago, I did an episode here on Like a Mother talking about how I so frequently have been a mom who says no. The practicalities of something or the timing on something or the cost of something or the logistics, whatever it might be, I frequently have said no and have had to teach myself, had to train myself, had to become a little more adaptable and become the kind of mom who is more willing to say yes. And I realized that I was much more willing to say yes to things while I was in Rome One, I think because it's the Eternal City and I'm there with my husband. But two, because you know that saying yes frequently leads to remarkable and incredible experiences and things. So I couldn't stop thinking about this idea of having a yes attitude. But then I could not stop being reminded, or in other words, I was consistently reminded of being a mom while I was in Rome without my children. And not just because I missed them, I certainly did, and was and am eternally grateful to my mom and dad for watching our children while we were in the Eternal City, gallivanting around like a couple of honeymooners who also, you know, happened to meet Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, and the Pope all within a 24-hour time period. Still the wildest thing I think I'll ever be able to say on air, on stage, or to somebody's face. It wasn't just because I wished my children could have had some of the experiences alongside of us. We'll certainly have to get them back to Rome while they're still little. But because really at every twist and turn, on even the professional side of things, I was reminded of my children. Because in a lot of ways, my children were part of why I was there. Let me give you some context. About 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago now, in March of 2018, I found myself at the pre-synod gathering for youth and young adults. It was a meeting of 300 people from all over the world, young people, all of us under the age of 30, to dream and to vision and to brainstorm ways that the church could be accessible and approachable and articulate to the young people of today. That pre-synod gathering was in anticipation of the Synod on Youth and Young Adult Ministry, which took place a few months later, out of which came a beautiful document, Christus Vivit, which we're now celebrating the anniversary of. A remarkable document that unpacks and explores how to articulate Christ is alive to young people who are so alive. And when I was at that meeting in 2018, it dawned on me very quickly and was evident very quickly that I was the only mother in the building. I was the only woman in the room, in the conversations as a young person who had given birth, who had a child that called me mom. I was the only young adult mother participating in the young adult meeting. Because in a lot of ways, it almost kind of seemed like they forgot that there are plenty of women in their 20s who are raising children who would still be considered by the Vatican standards a young person in the life of the church. And so it very quickly became evident that I was there to represent the interests of the United States of America and the young people and youth ministry, but also to represent mothers. Mothers who are striving to live their faith in the day-to-day, mothers who want to raise their children Catholic, mothers who are struggling and who are joyful all at the same time, and that we contain multitudes and can manage the this is really hard, but also I really love it attitude. 6 years later, I found myself back in the Vatican, this time with the Dicastery of Communications, in a room. And I wasn't the only mother. Praise Jesus. There were other women there who are moms. But the three or four of us who are mothers, who are called mom or mommy, who understand the ups, the downs, the joys, the challenges, much of what we talk about here on Like a Mother, we very quickly realized that we were in the minority inside the group of digital influencers talking about the internet, talking about toxicity, talking about ways to articulate the faith in spaces that can be sometimes very hostile. And I ended up having a conversation with this lovely woman about how it is so beautiful that the church makes space for moms in these conversations, invites us to the table, wants to know our perspective, sees that we share about motherhood on our social media platforms, and perhaps that's why we were invited to participate in this conversation, and yet how there's still so much more work to do. And perhaps the work needs to be done not just from the top down, oh, the Vatican invites more moms into these rooms and conversations, but perhaps is some internal work that we as mothers need to do to recognize that our voice is valuable, our experience is necessary to articulate, our insights as women raising children cannot be discounted in the places where important conversations are happening, at the higher upper echelons of, in fact, the church. When Garth Brooks was performing in St. Peter's atrium, he talked about his kids. He talked about Trisha Yearwood, his wife, being the best mom he could ever hope to have for his children. talked about how our children are not just the future, but are in fact our right now. And I was kind of gobsmacked that here was Garth Brooks articulating this eternal, beautiful truth about loving children. And the best thing we'll ever do is raise them and invest in them and love them in the most iconic and beautiful church we have in Christendom. I was reminded of it as I stood in line to get in for the papal audience, and we were holding a pack of socks from Sacrilegious, some custom-made socks for Pope Francis from the National Eucharistic Revival, and a little Lego, a little Pope Lego and Pope Mobile that my six-year-old made him, along with a letter that she wrote him. And every time we had to stop and, you know, show all the things that you're bringing into the papal audience, people would gush and ooh and ah and be so excited that we were giving Pope Francis something from our kids. In fact, you can see in the photos of our meeting with him that he lights up like a Christmas tree when he sees the letter from our daughter. That he was delighted that we as parents, that I as a mom, in a way, brought our children with us on this journey and brought the heart of our little six-year-old to the Holy Father. I was reminded of it as we were walking the streets of Rome, and you'd see a mom pushing a stroller or a family clearly on vacation with gelato in hand or rushing in and out of some of the touristy spots and trying to snap photos of their kids with these beautiful and memorable things. And you'd smile at the mom, you'd give a thumbs up to the dad, you'd say hi to the little bambino, and you'd be joyfully reminded of the fact that while traveling with kids might be really hard, it's incredibly worth it because you're bringing them into these places and these spaces that are timeless and eternal. I was reminded of it every time my husband and I would stop into a shop and see, would our kids like this or would they like that, trying to find the right little souvenirs to bring home to them. I was reminded of it in conversation with people who work in important offices inside the Vatican, cardinals and monsignors and religious sisters and lay people who are literally shaping the way our church functions and operates day in and day out. And nearly every single conversation, they'd want to know about our kids, and we'd show them photos of our family back home and talk about the great joy of raising them. You know, I think there's a lot of talk these days about how motherhood can be very isolating, and it can be. How motherhood at times can be almost a limit. Our time, our energy is obviously devoted and given to our children, primarily. How sometimes the balancing act of, say, a work, especially job outside the home, and then managing the home and making sure dinners are cooked and lunches are packed and beds are made and children are tucked in and felt loved and cared for, and that the managing and the balancing of all of that can sometimes stretch us to the point of almost feeling like we're going to collapse. We're mentally exhausted. We don't exactly know what to do next. And so in an attempt to challenge us, sometimes it's said, well, you have to make a choice between those two. You have to figure out how you're going to balance those two. And so maybe you have to remove some of those things. And I don't disagree with that point by any means. But consistently while walking around Rome, I was reminded of the fact that I was in this eternal city there for this meeting because I was representing, just like I had 6 years before, the interests of mothers, the interest of women who are mothering in this digital missionary space, to have these conversations and discussions about how to be less toxic online because of, well, things I've done online and the way I've created things. And so much of that has been from motherhood. So much of that has been sharing my children, sharing perspectives on how to raise a Catholic family, having conversations with people on podcasting platforms about that very same thing. That motherhood didn't limit me from going to the literal apostolic palace to shake hands with the Pope. I think motherhood is why I was there in the first place. What I find so particularly unique about conversations around motherhood in 2024 is that sometimes they lead to battles. Sometimes they lead to intense disagreements. Sometimes they lead to think pieces and long-form interviews and snippy Instagram commentary. And in some ways, it almost seems like conversations around motherhood always come from a perspective of, well, motherhood is inherently limiting because your time becomes devoted to the children. Your time becomes devoted to the home. Your time and your energy can't be drawn into 10 different directions. It needs to be singularly focused. And we say that singular focus, we say that limit almost from this negative perspective. Motherhood is limiting. But as I was walking through the Eternal City, a city built upon layers, the ancient Rome far beneath your feet, you walk into the Pantheon and you literally go down a slant because that is the level of the ground when the Pantheon was this temple to all the gods and is now a Christian church where rose petals are dropped through the oculus on Palm Sunday. Walking through a city with tall buildings, cobblestones older than the United States of America, shops and restaurants and everything from the tourist traps to the little tucked away hidden gems. But as you walk through the city, in a lot of ways, you're reminded of limits. But in a lot of ways, you're invited to see beyond the limits. That's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes today. The limits of motherhood is actually not being something hard to grasp or hard to swallow or hard to accept, but that the limits of motherhood are actually the thing that give us an expansive, abundant mindset. Okay, here's the mid-roll ad. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In St. Meinrad's graduate theology program, lay students are transformed through prayer and study to become servant leaders in today's church. In a welcoming community, St. Meinrad offers a quality theological education that is flexible and affordable. Pursue your MA or certificate in theology via weekend and online offerings. Graduate theology at St. Meinrad. Study theology for today's church. Learn more at stmeinrad.edu/OSV. So the limits of motherhood, I think, are sometimes articulated in this way. Well, you're limited in the amount of time you have. You're limited with your budget. You're limited with the mental capacity one has to hold all the various information and discussions and conversation needed with your kids, with your spouse, with school. That there's a limit to your capacity as a person. And so therefore, motherhood in some ways needs to be capped, needs to be limited. I had a conversation not long ago with a friend of mine. We were talking about summer plans. She's got 5 kids. I only have 2. And as we were talking through our summer plans for all of our various kids, she said, quote, I have capacity for each kid to get to do one thing in the summer. And I appreciated the way she said that. I have capacity for. Because she wasn't saying, oh, I'm limiting my children because mom's going to be too tired or mom's not going to be able to drive everybody everywhere or because the budget's going to get maxed out if everybody does art camp. She recognized the capacity for the experience was X. This is how much we have in our bucket. This is how much we can hold. And so therefore, we're not going to exceed that capacity. And in putting the limit, in putting the boundary, there was something quite positive. She said, you know, when so-and-so goes off and does this art camp, the rest of the kids get to stay home and they get movie time. And every kid wants to actually just have the movie time rather than go to the camp because the movie time is usually the thing that's somewhat limited. And so because there's a limit, only one kid gets to do this camp, only one kid gets to do one external activity during each particular week of the summer, by putting that limit, by putting that boundary, the kids that aren't doing the thing, the boundary actually leads to the flourishing. The limit and knowing I can only do so much actually allows for everybody to win. I appreciated her perspective because I think sometimes as moms, I know I do this all the time. I feel like my capacity should be endless. Oh, yes, I can say yes to that project. I can do that particular thing. I can go to that particular place. Yes, we can be involved in this. I can volunteer for that. My kids can be engaged in this. And by the end of the day, you're a washcloth that's been wrung out and completely and totally bone dry to where you can't wipe down any surface or counter. You can't do anything else with that which has been completely and totally drained. Or it's the empty pitcher. Everything has been poured out. Everybody else is satisfied, and yet you remain empty. That the limits, the capacity has been reached, and so therefore the boundary is established, and I know I can only do so much. Now, on the flip side of this, knowing my capacity, knowing the limits that I should set, recognizing that there is a boundary I should hold, that there is only so many different directions one can be pulled, that's not to say that we should then limit others. The capacity I have as a mother, the capacity you have as a mother, it's not all cookie cutter and formula. It's not all, well, one thing, one kid, 1 week of the summer. That might work for that mom. What works for you? I was accused recently of being a little relativistic when I said, you know, sometimes we talk about how every woman needs to live her motherhood, needs to look a particular way and have a particular style and do a particular thing within the family life. But I actually find it incredibly beautiful that there are so many different and varied ways to approach it. And that in fact, the human heart, human life flourishes when there is diversity and difference in our approach. And somebody called it namby-pamby, wishy-washy relativism. And so I called them a namby-pamby right back. And then it devolved into an Instagram Twitter argument that was stupid and pointless. And so I deleted it all when I came to my senses. But the point simply being how gloriously boring everybody else could possibly be if we all just cookie cutter one another's lives. How incredibly diverse, how gloriously beautiful the differences when we discern and when we decide what works for us. I think at times we think that the limit of motherhood, the capacity that we have, should be imposed upon us from the externals. When really the externals, the imposing, should come from our discernment and our prayer with God, not imposed upon us by some outside force or some ancient document, but an invitation to consider and to pray and to decide what capacity and limits we have. You know, had the invitation to come to Rome been in, say, early July, my limits and capacity would have had to say no, because our July is already quite booked. I have a couple of Steubenville conferences. We have the National Eucharistic Congress. We're going to visit some family and meet our new nephew. The capacity that I have is already extended into the month of July, and I know I'm at my limit. But the invitation came in mid-May. Happened to be a weekend, I was already free. Happened to be a time when my husband could get away from his responsibilities at school. And so we were able to say yes because we understood our limits and capacities. The limits and the capacities didn't prevent us. It actually allowed us. Had it been a prevention based upon the timing of the invite or the meeting, well, that would have been something else to discern. But we were able to look at our calendar and our schedule and our limits and the availability of my folks to watch the kids and were able to say yes as needed. We're able to accept the invitation to go do something quite remarkable. We're able to say yes because we knew the limits. And herein we go back to the point I was making at the beginning. I couldn't stop thinking about the limits of motherhood, because the limits of motherhood, in my perspective, are actually not a limiting thing. They're actually a quite abundant thing. By knowing what I can say yes and no to, by embracing the opportunity to say yes and recognizing that every yes I give is actually a no to something else, the limits become very freeing. Because I know the parameters, I know my capacity, I know my boundaries, I know where I can flourish most. I think as moms, that requires a discernment of spirits. It requires prayerful thought and consideration of the invitations extended, of the opportunities afforded, of the work we may or may not be called to do, the number of children we may or may not be called to welcome into our home. To recognize our limits is not a limiting thing. To recognize our limits, to know our capacity, is to invite abundance within the spaces and the places and the things we have chosen and that we have right in front of us. I was having a conversation with a friend not long ago, different friend, not the one with the five kids and the only one thing per one kid once a week. I was having a conversation with another friend of mine, and they've long wanted more children and they've just been unable to conceive. And we were having a conversation because in a lot of ways, that's been some of the circumstance and situation of my husband and I. Open to more children hasn't happened yet. God's will be done. And she said, you know, recently in my prayer, it's dawned on me that I've been looking for something I don't have, more kids, rather than appreciate and love the children right in front of me. And she said that was a hard thing to admit. In some ways, you know, I thought I was missing out by not having more children, rather than recognize that there can be abundance and more to be found in the two that I have. And she shared with me she had to go apologize to her children, saying, you know, in a lot of ways, I haven't appreciated you. In a lot of ways, I feel like I've been longing for something rather than appreciate and relish in the joy that I have right in front of me. that she thought, you know, there's this limit that's been imposed upon me. I can't have more kids. But in reality, that limit, and in this sense, you know, a biological limit, she can't conceive more children or hasn't yet. That limit is not something that one should look at from a negative perspective, but is in fact maybe an invitation to find abundance in what is right before you and what you have already. You know, in a lot of ways, I think this is why sometimes when you go to countries where there's great poverty, where there's great suffering, you find people to be remarkably joyful. And sometimes, you know, in our capitalistic, incredibly privileged society where there is very little to what we have, very little limits upon what we can buy, we sometimes are quite unsatisfied because we have more, and yet we go to these places where they have so little, and they are incredibly joyful. And you realize that the limits of their ownership or of the physical things that they might have, while yes, we should share our riches and wealth and afford them more opportunities to flourish, there's an internal flourishing because they have found abundance with what they have. They have found more with so little. I guess what I'm trying to circle the drain on here is, you know, in a lot of ways, the world will sometimes look at women and say, you must choose. Or in a lot of ways, the world will look at women. Women will say to other women, you can't have it all. And while those things are true to an extent, you must make choices. And yes, you can't juggle every ball and spin every plate and balance upon every teeter-totter without, in some ways, slightly losing your mind. There must be choices and discernments and no's said and yeses given in various stages and phases of one's life. But the limits of motherhood are not something that should limit you. The limits of motherhood are something that creates a very expansive part of you that allows flourishing in ways you can never imagine, allows prayer, the depths of which no one else could possibly fathom the joy of, gives opportunities to be in beautiful places and spaces, sometimes Sistine Chapels talking to country music stars, and sometimes couches and playrooms watching a episode of Blue you've seen 1,000 times and laughing and giggling until your sides hurt because you're just so excited to be in that space with your kids. That the limits of motherhood, the ones that we impose, the capacity that we know we have, are the gateway to the flourishing, are the gateway, the launch pad, the on-ramp, whatever analogy you want to use, to abundance. And so I would encourage you to think about those limits, the capacity that you have, especially as we come up on a summer. The yeses that you've said, the no's that you've imposed, to think about the boundaries that you've set, the capacity that you are able to operate and function and work at. And don't see them as, oh, I can't do more, or I don't have more, or I can't do this, or I'm unable to do that. But to recognize the limits are perhaps a nice little fence around the garden that you're called to tend, is a boundary that's been set so you can find abundance within that boundary. Maybe I'm just talking out of my head because I'm still a little jet lagged, but I haven't really been able to stop thinking about it. We'll be back in a couple weeks with a beautiful conversation with Abigail Favale about gender and about women and about the ways that we can articulate femininity authentically and in a life-giving way. We've got some wonderful episodes coming up in June, helping prepare us for the National Eucharistic Congress happening in Indianapolis in July. Just as a little side note, you should totally bring your family to this. There's going to be an incredible kids space. There's a lot of engaging materials being created for kids, including atriums with catechesis of the Good Shepherd. The programming is going to it's going to blow your mind, but also really invite you into deep and intentional prayer and formation. Check it all out over at eucharisticcongress.org. I'm going to be there hosting one of the impact sessions. My whole family's going to be there. We're going to be doing a really awesome Like a Mother crossover episode with the good guys over at Godsplaining. We'll give you some more details about that as it gets closer, but we'd love to see you there. And it's my little plug from the Like a Mother perspective. I think as families, we'll really flourish and thrive at the Eucharistic Congress, and we'd love to see you there with your family. Thanks for being with us this week. Thanks for journeying with us as we wander through the ideas and the concepts that sometimes pop into my head when I'm strolling the Eternal City and meeting the Pope. Thanks for walking through life with us like a mother. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind in St. Meinrad's Graduate Theology Program. Lay students are transformed through prayer and study to become servant leaders in today's church. In a welcoming community, St. Meinrad offers a quality theological education that is flexible and affordable. You can pursue your MA or certificate in theology via weekend and online offerings. Graduate theology at St. Meinrad. Study theology for today's church. Learn more at stmeinrad.edu/OSV. We're grateful that they are today's sponsor.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.